Well, you've all either had a first day of work or will have a first day of work. I want you to imagine a young person fresh out of their studies and they're off to their new job. First day, very exciting. He gets a new suit, new tie. It's his first train trip. He's sitting there with all the other workers on their way to work, fresh in the morning. The end of the month comes. Big paycheck. More money than he's ever known before in his life. What to do with it? It's all very exciting. What a day. But then you might remember the old song, Working 9 to 5. Dolly Parton, if you're old enough. Dolly Parton, what a great singer she is. And this was a terrific song from the movie, 9 to 5. And the song goes like this: tumble out of bed and stumble. I won't sing it like Dolly sings it. Tumble out of bed and stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, yawning and stretching and try to come to life, jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5 for service and devotion. You would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Want to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me. So that's that approach to work. It's just 9 to 5. It's a grind. And it's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Well, how can we not let it drive us crazy? What is work about? What's it all for? Does my work matter at all? Does my work matter to God? Some people have a job that they absolutely love and can't wait to get to work in the morning. Some people have a job that is a total grind. Some work is paid, some work is voluntary, some's in an office, some's out in the field or a tradie. Some work is as a mum, some work is as a dad. There's all kinds of work, an incredible diversity of work. But what's it about? Is it just for a paycheck? Should that be our attitude? It's just for a paycheck. And we're looking forward to the weekend. There was another song, wasn't there? Everybody's working just for the weekend. Or is it about status? Is it about our identity, who we are? Our work defines who we are. Well, is there more to it than all of that? Well, I want to think about the whole Bible story this morning, from creation to the fall to redemption to the new creation. Let's get the big picture of the Bible when it comes to work. So let's look at creation. Creation is absolutely essential for our understanding of who we are, who God is, what the world is about, and how we fit in. So the creation story lays the foundation for our understanding of who we are as human beings in God's created world. But let's consider that. Genesis 1:1, the beginning, a very good place to start. I think I have the Bible verse up there, Dan, if you want to move ahead. So we're going to be thinking about, theology of work. We're going to think about creation. We're going to look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God then went on for 6 days to create and declared, "Behold, it is very good." The creation is very good. So we see that God is a creator. He's creative. And we see that God brings order out of chaos. That idea of the formless void of the water for the Hebrew story is chaos. But God brought order out of chaos. And so we then find that the pinnacle of creation is human beings, right? And God created us in his image. And so God is the ruler of the world, but he made us to be rulers of the world under him. He gave us a job. So we find in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So we have a job that God has given us to look after the creation. And of course, God gave Adam, who's mentioned there, helper Eve, to be together and care for each other as they care for the world. So because we're created in God's image, we are also creative. We are given a mandate to work and care for the earth, but we are also, in the image of God, creative. We have creativity to do all the diverse things that we do in this world, to look after this world. We also see that we bring order out of chaos. So our work should be something that brings order out of chaos. We don't want to contribute to chaos. We want to contribute to order in the work that we do. There's a sense of productivity and fulfillment. And so we want to be fulfilled in the way that we accomplish the tasks that we are given. That's the ideal. That's the creative ideal for this world and for our place in the world. To have work that cares for the world, orders the world, and brings us fulfillment. So God is a worker. He creates, orders, and sustains, and we in his image reflect his creative and stewarding work of looking after the created world that he's given us. So whether your job is in an office, in a classroom, at home, outdoors, your work is in a sense a sacred calling into this mandate that God has given us, this work that he has given us. That's what we're created to do in this world, in a relationship with him. Okay? So this is the perfect scenario in the Garden of Eden. And we imagine our young man in the office. He arrives and he's excited and he starts to get to know the office. They show him around. He gets to meet his workmates. How you doing? Great. Welcome. Yeah, welcome. Join us. This is a great place to work. They show him the coffee machine. Awesome. Yep, I'm up for that. He starts feeling good about the work that he's doing. He starts producing something. He punches out some reports and he thinks, wow, I'm really contributing here to this company and what this company is doing and the success of the company. And I'm a part of that and it feels good. But we know that that's in a way an ideal. But we also know that it didn't stay that way. We have the fall. Adam and Eve disobey God. They eat the fruit of the tree that they're not allowed to eat. And sin comes into the world. That perfect picture of Eden is cracked and broken. And so we see the curses that result from humanity's disobedience to God. And so in Genesis 3, didn't take long, did it? A couple of chapters. We see the curse of Adam. There are other curses, but we just focus on this one. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. So death comes into the world, and as well, painful toil. Sin distorts work, and it becomes, in a sense, frustrated, futile. There are broken relationships. Our relationship with God is broken. Our relationship with nature is broken. Our relationship with each other is broken. And all of this impacts our work and what it means for us. We might experience burnout, injustice, or idolatry in the way that we work and think about work. We think of our young office worker. After a while, he starts to realize that things in the office aren't quite how they seemed at first. There seems to be some dodgy things happening, some unethical practices. He also starts to have problems with people that he's working with, personality clashes. He also starts to realize that some people have it in for him because they see it as a competition and they're wanting to get ahead before he does. And then we also see that they've asked him to come in and work on weekends, and it's just taking more and more time. Welcome to the grind of work in the fallen world. But is that all there is? Well, we also move forward in our Bible story to redemption. That's not the end of the story. We know that Christ has come to redeem us, to reclaim us in a sense. And all that we are as Christians is redeemed and reclaimed for Christ. And that includes our work. And so God is reconciling the world to himself, and he's reconciling us back to himself through Christ. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we come back into a relationship with God. And that affects everything that we do and everything that we are. As a Christian, there's now no separation between our spiritual life and our secular life. All of it belongs to God. All of it is redeemed. Our whole person is redeemed, and all of our activity is redeemed and brought back into its true purpose. That is, to serve God and to be in a relationship with God, even in our work. And that means that our work as redeemed people reflect the characteristics of the kingdom of God. Okay, it's in a sense reversing the effects of sin and returning us to the purity of the original creation. Now, we can't do that perfectly in this world because we're still in a fallen world. But we are now working, in a sense, for God, and we're working, in a sense, with a new perspective, a kingdom perspective, and in a way that sees our work as being redeemed. It's again being a work that is fulfilling in terms of the kingdom of God. It's still creative. It's still bringing order out of chaos, and it's still bringing us fulfillment. But it all depends on how we approach it. So we can think of work in terms of the two great commandments that Jesus gives us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We can bring work into these great commands. So let's think about loving God. We love God as Christians. We love God because he first loved us, and we love God in all that we do, say, and think, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So that's also in terms of work. So Colossians 3:23 tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. See, one of the effects of sin is to put ourselves first, but we are made to put God first. And if we put ourselves first, we might think, well, work is all about making money and all about personal status. If we're just working for ourselves, they become our principal drivers. We're just serving ourselves. We just want to make money. That's what our job is about. And we just want to have status. And we find our identity in our work. And that becomes the most important thing. Now, Tim Keller says that there's there's a big danger in this, obviously, that we can never be fulfilled if this is the case. And Keller points out that if you are working either just for a paycheck or just for personal ambition, then your work will either become too important or not important enough. It'll become unimportant. You see, if we're just working for identity and status in our work, it becomes an idol that we devote ourselves to, and we will overwork. It will become too important, and we will be just left with anxiety and burnout. But if our work becomes too draining, you just end up caring about the paycheck and you don't care about the job. So the job becomes really unimportant and not something that you care about. So there's a danger when we see work either as just a paycheck or as our identity and status. So the key to understanding this is the gospel. How do we respond? We respond by remembering that God is our God, that God is the one who has saved us, and that God is the one whom we serve. And so work, like our whole life, is a response to a gracious God. God wants us to find satisfaction and contentment in our work. He wants us to have peace. You know, the goal of being a Christian is peace, the peace of God and the peace with God, and the contentment in our own life that comes out of that. And this applies to work as well. So if you want to find satisfaction in your work, you need to find satisfaction in God. God says He will supply all your needs. And so we need to understand that work is working for God, it's serving God. God is our supervisor. But another aspect of this is to kind of think about what we do, that it's a God, it's God-given. Okay, so God has given each of us certain abilities and capacities and passions and interests and opportunities. And you tend to find as you grow up, you gravitate towards those things naturally. And work is much more agreeable when our work fits who we are and when work fits our interests, our passions, and our capacities. And when work fits who we are, we feel more fulfilled and content. Remember our young office worker. Well, when things became too difficult, when the job just didn't fit, he left. And that young office worker was me. So that's a bit about my story. I started out as an accountant, and I worked in a very toxic workplace environment. And I stuck it out, and I stuck it out, and I stuck it out, and I burnt out. I didn't really think about work in terms of the gospel. I guess I was just thinking about a paycheck and the next promotion. And I couldn't get promoted because the workplace was so toxic, everybody else kept leaving. And when every review would come up and they would say, look, you know, we are going to promote you, but there's no one left in the office that can do the job except you. And so I kind of felt a real loyalty to the workplace, even though I was completely miserable and burnt out. I eventually got my promotion, and then I left. And at first I had a feeling that, you know, I was letting the company down. But I realized that they didn't care. They didn't care about me. I was just a worker, and they would fill my job, you know, in the next week. And it was a very interesting lesson to learn. And I went away from that job and I gravitated towards Christian ministry and felt like that was more of a fit for me. Now, it's not always the case, is it, that we find the perfect fit? It's not always the case that we find the ideal job that we love and we're suited to perfectly and pays a decent wage. That's not always the case. But remember, there is a wide spectrum that you might fit into. You might not feel like you're in exactly the right spot, but you might feel like, you know, you're in the ballpark. You're doing something that you like, something that you can do, something that you're good at and you're getting paid for it. And so that's a good thing. But if you're not, then you need to probably think about moving, changing, and finding another job. And that's something that you can pray about. That's something that you can ask God for wisdom about and for direction, and ask God to give you another job. Because you're serving God and you want to serve with your whole heart, mind, and strength in your work. It also means that you are, you know, being ethical, isn't it? You're working as a Christian. You're working in a way that honors God, as our panelists shared a little bit about. Your Christian life is on display. You're a witness for the Lord Jesus. And so you want to honor God in the way that you work. That means being ethical. That means being kind, patient in your relationships, and working well for your employer. I remember taking my car to get serviced once for the registration, and I went to the local mechanic and he said, "Oh, you've got an oil leak, big problem. I'm going to have to take this thingy out and that thingamabobby out and fix that doovy." And it's been about $500. I said, "Okay, I'll get back to you." And I had my favourite mechanic. He was a little bit further away, but I took the car to him. And he looked at it. He said, "Oh, you've got it. Yeah, the oil leak. It's this seal here, $20. I'll change it for free." And, you know, there's always people that are going to game the system, right? There's always people that are not going to be ethical in the workplace. We don't want to be those people. That's not a good witness for the Lord. But the other thing we want to think about is that our work fits into the commandment of loving your neighbour. Now, you might not think, well, how does this exactly work? Well, we remember Ephesians 2:10 that tells us we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And good works are works that are good and helpful for others. Now, you might notice in the reading that we had today, Thessalonians 4, verses 9 to 10, talk about love for one another. That's Paul's focus. But then in verses 11 and 12, Tiff, can you bring my cup of water down, please? In verses 11 and 12, he talks about work. But you might notice in the NIV translation, I don't think there's a full stop, okay? So I think it's just continues on, and that's a good translation. Because I think what Paul is saying here is that if you want to love each other, you have to work. That they're not separated. They go together. To work is to show love. So that's a principle that is here. And one of the reasons is the context of Thessalonians. They're waiting for Jesus to come back. And so a lot of people are saying, well, what's the point of working? I'll just stop working, you know, and just wait for Jesus. So Paul's saying, no. That's not how it works. You need to work, and that's the way you show love for each other, and that's the way you find fulfillment and contentment. And so we work to show love, and we work to show love to our neighbours, and our neighbours are, you know, who is our neighbour? Well, our neighbour might be our immediate workmates. Our neighbour might be those that we're working for. And we want to think about work as investing in the community, investing in society, not being a drain on society. We want work to contribute to good order in society. And so whatever work we're doing, it's meaningful if it's contributing to the community in whatever way. It's being helpful. So it doesn't matter if you're a doctor, a tradie, a mother, a father, a street sweeper, where you work, it's showing love for your neighbour it's not being a drain on the community, but contributing to the community. So when we think of loving God and loving our neighbour, work becomes a place of discipleship, of service, and of witness. We don't work for human approval, we work for the Lord, and we work to serve the Lord and to serve others. And that gives us meaning in our work. So I invite you to bring Jesus into your daily work, to pray over your work, to pray over the tasks, the meetings, the decisions that you make, to pray over the relationships that you have with people at work, and to treat your colleagues with grace and integrity, and to seek justice in the workplace, whatever that might look like. And remember that we also are a witness for Christ. And so in verse 12, it tells us that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. So how we work is a witness for Christ, and people see it. And we want to win respect in that sense. You might remember in June, in our mission month, we had Grace from City Bible Forum come and share with us about being a Christian in the workplace. And I remember that she had three tips for us. Stay calm and listen well. So what's going on for the other person when you're chatting to them? Stay calm and be a good listener so you can get to know them. Find gospel connections in conversation, even if it's just a real quick connection. Let them know your worldview. Mention that you're going to church on Sunday, or whatever in the flow of the conversation. But also, if you get a chance to share your gospel transformation, share personally how knowing Jesus has impacted you and changed you, and maybe even in the way that you approach work. And so she said those three tips: stay calm and listen well, find gospel connections, and share what your faith means to you. But I found the tip that was really helpful was just maybe connect with one person at your workplace and invite them out to lunch and start to get to know them in that way. And then, of course, be praying for those people in your workplace, and asking God to give you that opportunity to be salt and light in the world. Well, there's another step in salvation history, and that's the new creation to come. And we don't really have any concept of how amazing that's going to be, but we do get some ideas. So we won't be in eternity angels floating on clouds playing harps. We'll actually be working, because God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and they will be perfect. And we will not be idle. We will still be doing meaningful activity, creativity, and community in the new heavens and the new earth. It will be physical. And God will renew all things, including the dignity and purpose and fulfillment and satisfaction of work. So we want to taste that now, but we also are having a sense of the work that is to come in the kingdom of God in eternity. And God has a plan for us. So we look forward to that. But I want to finish by just remembering that, you know, being a Christian in the workplace has to do with being a Christian, which changes everything. And so Jonathan Edwards, an old-timey preacher, said that unless you have experienced the grace of God, unless you've experienced the grace of God, then when you go to your job, you are doing it out of self-interest and not for the sheer joy of the work or of serving someone. But if you know that you are saved, if you know that you are accepted by God, then you do it for the sheer joy of serving God and helping others. Not to get something from God and not to get something from people. I serve God because of what he has done for me. Until you know that you are saved by grace, then everything you do is, in a sense, out of self-interest. And therefore, everything you do will inevitably be filled with anxiety and you'll burn out. because this world cannot satisfy you. So the great irony is that until you learn to work for God's sake and for the sake of others, you will not be fulfilled. You are just working for your own personal fulfillment through the money or through the status, and you will not find peace and rest. It's interesting in the passage that we had read, 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 11, it says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you. So I think that this is where Paul is kind of seeing that, yes, we can have peace. We can have the peace of God in the work that we do, whether it's our hands on a keyboard or our hands on a tool or wherever we might be working. We can experience the peace of God because we're saved by God and we're in a relationship with God, and that shapes everything that we do and how we perceive everything that we do, including our work. If your identity is in Christ, you don't need to find your identity in work. And it means your work doesn't become too important. It means that you can have limits. It means that you can have your Sabbath rest. But it means your work won't be too unimportant. You will work with integrity, and you'll be a good witness for the Lord Jesus. So recognize that to be fulfilled in your work is to be fulfilled in Christ. Recognize the brokenness of our work environment, yes, and bring that to God. But recognize that we have entered into the rest that God has offered us. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the eternal rest that we've already entered into. That is the peace of God which has promised us when we are reconciled to God through Christ. And we carry that peace into every part of our life, even our work, even when our work is messy, even when our work is hard, even when our work is a grind. We can love God and love our neighbor and find joy and fulfillment in that. Amen.